I didn't even want to get up. Thank you, Lindsay. Jimmy, thank you. Did you write that song? That's great. It's been a lot of water under the bridge for me, many of you, with this congregation when I was in Franklin, now in Fairmont. Don Shelby has been my friend. Long time. For that, I'm very thankful. I certainly wouldn't want to change anything. I'm convinced. We stayed with Mark and Regina last night, my wife and I, Glenda. And thinking about the seriousness of standing before you and the responsibility to, in agreement with, obedience to our Lord's command, told Isaiah, he said, "You comfort my people." He told Peter, he said, "You love me. You feed my sheep." And the responsibility to stand before God's people is a very grave responsibility that I truly think every once in a while, maybe, I might feel the seriousness of it. To stand before you and to tell you that I always do would be less than truthful. I want to. I do want to. But oh, how weak I see myself to be. But I do pray that God be pleased to bless the message today. And I feel as though that if I've ever known or felt that I had the right message, I believe it's today. I believe it is. I pray it is. I pray God bless it in spite of me. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. I'd like to look at the first five verses of chapter 3. And our passage is going to begin with the bride relating an experience that is familiar to every believer. It is that awareness of our need to inquire and to commune, to cry after the Lord. Every believer knows something about that. And the bride, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, Solomon wrote the heart of a believer. And said in verse 1, "By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." I read some that said that this was a dream. Maybe it was. But I can tell you, every one of you that know him, there's been times in the nighttime when you've become aware of that desire to call on the Lord. Was it a dream? I don't know. I think I was awake. But it was a quiet time of just communion. And Shulamite expressed in that night on my bed. David, hold your place. Turn to Psalm 77:2. Psalm 77:2. It was a man after God's own heart. Here's what he said. Psalm 77:2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore, or the in the margin, it says hand, ran in the night and ceased not, and my soul refused to be comforted. That the word sore is interpreted hand. I looked it up. It means direction. Direction. Being unsure. He said in the night. Now this was something that was different than that part of the day that's opposite to the daytime like now. This David said it was in the night of my affliction. When I just didn't know. I don't know. I don't know. And he said my hand, the direction, I just didn't know what direction. The Lord was moving. And he said, and I refused to be comforted. Whenever Jacob heard about his son Joseph, didn't know what happened to him. They tried to comfort him and just, I didn't know, you know. But seeking the Lord is something that the natural man knows nothing of. Romans 3:11 said, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Man in his fallen state, he's corrupt, head to toe, and he doesn't have a heart to seek the Lord. There's no interest to approach him as an empty-handed beggar. But a believer knows something about that. He needs to hear. He wants to hear. David said in Psalm 27:8, when thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, Lord, will I seek? I want to. I want to seek. I want to. So the bride, back in Song of Solomon 3, she sought by night. Is that the night time? Well, yeah. Is it the day of my affliction? Yeah. By night on my bed. It's quiet. I seem to be able to hear, seem to be able to perceive something. I sought him whom my soul loveth. I'd advise you, look these words. When you read something, get your concordance and look it up and see what it says. She said, I sought him. It means sought out to worship, to strive after, and to beg of him. So she did. She did what he commanded to do. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let me tell you where Shulamite was. She didn't have any other place to go. And she didn't want to go anywhere else. I want to seek him. I want to know. I don't know what to do. What else is a believer going to do? She sought him expecting that he would be found. Listen to the words of our Lord. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And you know what she did? You know what every believer does? They're going to hang on to every word of that. What else are we going to do? What else can we do? But the Scripture says when she sought him, back in verse 1, she didn't find him. He didn't appear to exist. He didn't appear to exist. Now the Lord said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And the settledness of her heart just seemed to escape her. She continually came and she sought her beloved. He is the life of his people. And they long for his presence. They long for his voice. My sheep, hear my voice. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I will give you rest, Lord. Would you say something to me? Lord, would you give me that comfort? Would you give me that rest? I don't have anything else. They know him. They know him. They know that he is their salvation. Who is the one who's justified you? Who is? That's the Lord. Who is the one that's redeemed you? Who is the prophet from God for you? Who is your king? It's the Lord. That's who he is. And they seek after him. But the Spirit of God has been pleased to teach us something this morning. Something of ourselves. She sought him by night. Sought him in the day of her affliction. And she sought him. She couldn't find him. She sought him in that deep, in that affliction. The deep calamity or distress of her heart without the apparent presence, guidance, direction of the Lord. That's what Mr. Vine said. Vine's analytical. You know that you know him. I sought him whom my soul loveth. But the heaviness, not being able to find him, was so great. Shulamite, I noticed something just before in the last two verses of chapter 2. She had just related something of her relationship to him. Now, again, you that know him, you know what this is talking about. Look what it said, verse 16 to 70 of chapter 2. My beloved is mine. Now, do you know that? You know that. And I'm his. And you know that. He feedeth among the lilies. And then she said in verse 17, until the day break and the shadows flee away, until that new day breaks, that everlasting day, and the shadows flee away. Right now, the shadows of doubt and not knowing in the shadowy areas, we see through a glass darkly, but we see. But here's her attitude toward him. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn. What is she meaning? Lord, turn to me. Lord, make yourself known to me. Turn, let me behold your face. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe in a young hart, lively, alive, upon the mountains of Bether. Turn to me. Be swift to make yourself known to me. That's what she's saying. And a believer believes that. She believes that he's not going to leave her. She knows he's not going to leave her. Not going to say she knows that. But for reasons known only to the Lord, why does the Lord leave us in these times of uncertainty? Why? Because he's all wise. And he's good. And he's faithful. He promises. He mercifully hides himself from his people. Why? That he might awaken us. You know, we think that we'll never be in a state of sleepiness. But he who knows us better than we know ourselves stimulates our heart. Look at Song of Solomon 5, verses 2 to 8. Shulamite said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with you, my locks with the drops of the night. Now, listen to her response. Someone would say, I'd never say this. My friend, you that know him no better than this, listen to what we say. Now, this is our heart. By nature, we got an old man about us that's still with us. And here's the struggle. She said, I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? And then my beloved put his hand by the hole of the door in my bowels. My heart was moved for him. He knows how to awaken us. He knows how to stir us up. We find ourselves so often in that state of insensitivity. We're all like this. All of us. He calls to her and she gives him some excuse. But he knows how to awaken us. And that's what he did in verse 4. And she said, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the door. You know, she touched the very spot that he had touched. She was that close. She knew it. She said, I can smell him. I know it's the Lord. I know it's the Lord. And she said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone, and my heart failed when he spake. And I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Why would he do that? Because he loves us. He's not going to leave us to ourselves. Does he know how to stir our hearts, call upon him? Does he know how to do that? There's a song, all of us, it's a poem, but it was written by John Newton. He wrote this poem. I wrote it down. I want to read it. We've read it. You've heard it so many times. That's okay. We'll just hear it one more time. Name of it is 'Tis a Point I Long to Know. John Newton, I believe, wrote and penned the very heart of a believer. As they go through this world and they struggle. And that's what Shulamite's doing right here. She's seeking the Lord, the Lord she loves. I sought him whom my soul loveth. John Newton said, 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard his name. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer, a task and burden prove, every trifle give me pain if I knew a Savior's love. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child if I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Yet I mourn my stubborn will, and find my sin a grief and thrall. That means something that grips me. I can't get rid of it. Should I grieve for what I feel if I did not love at all? Could I joy His saints to meet, choose the ways I once abhorred, find at times the promise sweet if I did not love the Lord? Lord, decide the doubtful case, Thou who art Thy people's Son, and shine upon Thy work of grace, if it be indeed begun. And let me love Thee more and more, if I love at all, I pray. And if I have not loved before, help me to begin today. Let me ask you something. Have you ever felt something like that? Have you ever felt the weightiness of that? Have you ever found yourself asking, do I truly believe this? I know I should. I know I ought to. Do I? Lord, help me. I didn't know this until a couple of weeks ago. But somebody read that poem that John Newton wrote. Many of you may have already known what I'm about to tell you, but somebody read that and wrote a response to it. And I never read it, Mark. I never knew there was a response to that poem. I've read John Newton poem. But I read this and I know it was a response, but I don't know who the author was. But that's okay. And here's what they wrote in response. What is this point you long to know? Methinks I hear you say 'tis this. I want to know I'm born of God, an heir of everlasting bliss. If this is the point you long to know, this point is settled in my view. For if you want to love your God, it proves that He did first love you. I want to know Christ died for me. I want to feel the seal within. I want to know Christ's precious blood was shed to wash away my sin. I want a mind more firmly fixed on Christ, my everlasting head. I want to feel my soul alive and not so barren and so dead. I want more faith, stronger faith. I want to feel His power within. I want to feel more love to God. I want to feel less love to sin. I want to live above the world and count it all but trash and toys. I want more tokens of God's grace, some foretaste of eternal joys. I know not what I want. I want that real special good, yet all my wants are summed up here. I want to love. I want my God. Is this the point you long to know? The dead can neither feel nor see. It is the slave that's bound in chains that knows the worth of liberty. So where a want like this is found, I think I may be bold to say that God has fixed within my heart what hell can never take away. However small thy grace appears, there's plenty in thy living head. These wants to feel, my Christian friend, were never found amongst the dead. These nights, seasons, are trying, and they're painful. And actually, they prove the believers to be alive in Christ. When they feel the hurt, the pain, and the seeking for His presence, His compassion. And without Him, you'd never feel it. He said, without me, you can do nothing. But the struggle. The bride sought Him because she loved Him. I sought Him whom my soul loved. The carnal heart may pretend. They talk a good fight. But I'm telling you, only a believer knows the pain, of seeking, hungering, and thirsting after Him. But to speak of Him who loves the sheep, to speak of Him who is the life and bread, the hope, the King, the Savior, the righteousness, only a believer knows that. I sought Him on my bed. I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. Look at verse 2. She said, I will rise. Now this word right here. Now. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. A believer is not satisfied just to sit back and do nothing. People say, well, I'm going to just wait on the Lord. And that's the wisest thing we can do. But I'll tell you what. While we're waiting on the Lord, do all that you know to do. I'll show you what she did. Right here. She sought Him diligently. Because of that sense of being estranged from Him. That sense of not knowing was just almost intolerable for her. I mean, the separation, the pain of, you know, a believer is not at rest when you just seem to not know the mind of the Lord. I mean, some may be able to say, well, it's not a big deal. When the Lord is pleased, He'll reveal Himself. I just don't worry about it. You can't do that. You just don't do it. You just don't. If I fail to know times that I'm seeking the Lord and asking after and truly, truly wanting to know, and when the Lord seems to just hide His face and the time just goes on and on and on, you become more intent on desiring to know. David said in Psalm 119, verse 10, with my whole heart. What does that mean? With the sincerity of my heart. Everything I know. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. The Lord had created within Shulamite a desire to seek Him. And He ordained the means by which he's going to seek. Now let me tell you how every believer, let me tell you what you're doing. What she did. I'll arise now and I'll go about the city in the streets. I looked up that precious word, city. What about the city? Here's what it is. A place guarded by a watch. A place guarded by a watch. If I come to Danville, Kentucky, you want to know where I want to go, especially on the day when we're going to be together and worshiping. I want to go to the city where a watch has been set up by the Lord. I want to be in the midst of God's people. I want to be where God has been pleased to allow the truth to be openly proclaimed. That's where I want to be. Can you imagine coming somewhere and being in a place where God's raised up the gospel on a day where God's people are going to meet together and I'm not going to be there? That God's people would assemble together today and I'd be satisfied to be somewhere in Danville this morning and not be here? Where's she going to seek Him? Well, the first thing she did, she said, I'm going to go about the city. I'm going to go into that place that is guarded by a watch. I want to go someplace where God's raised up the truth and blessed it. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of you." Where do you think Shulamite's going to go? I want to go where the Lord promised he's going to be. Who knows? She sought him and she can't find him. She doesn't know. I want to come someplace where I know he said, "I'll be in attendance right there. I am in the midst of you." And that's what she did. She went to that place that was guarded. The place where the Lord was pleased to bless. But look what it says, the latter part of verse 2. "I sought him, but I found him not." The Lord may be in a place where he's raised up the gospel. No, the Lord will be in a place where he's raised up the gospel. And that's the safest place in the world I'll be. But if he's not pleased yet to reveal himself to me, I still won't hear. So what did she do now? Look at verse 3. "The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, 'Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?'" Now here's the evidence of the Lord working within the heart of his bride. He's promised. Even if he's pleased to have her eyes holden where she can't perceive him, what is she going to do? "I want to go and I want to talk to somebody. I want to talk to somebody that God's raised up to preach the gospel." How many times have I called on? You know that's so. You know that's so, Shelby. And I didn't know. I have a question. I just got a question. I didn't know. I don't know why. And I'd call my friend. I want to talk to somebody that knows God. I want to talk to somebody that the Lord's been pleased to bless and teach something. "A watchman go back. They found me." Now when she says that they found me, the sense is that it wasn't in particular that they saw her, but what they were doing is they were preaching the gospel to her. And they spoke concerning her case. Now I'm sitting here, I'm talking to you and preaching exactly what is being said right here, but it, the finding of the need of a believer. When he said that, the watchmen that go about the city, they found me. They found me in the sense that when the gospel was preached, it spoke to her need. That's how they found. The preachers sent of the Lord were preaching what the Lord had ordained, and the word itself that's sharper than any two-edged sword found her. Found her in the place of her need. And she asked them, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Do you know where I can find him? But again, as needful as it is for them to preach the gospel, even the preachers don't have the ability to take God's word and make it factual, opening up to the heart. Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can make you hear. She saw you him. Oh, but look, in verse 4. "It was but a little that I passed from them, but found him whom my soul loveth." I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. Here, the scripture is revealed to be effectual to her. The Lord who said, Jeremiah 29:13, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And only the Lord knows how to accomplish that. How long do we seek? Until He reveals. What if it's not today? Keep seeking. What do we do? Don't stop. Don't stop. Again, I'll say, like I said at the beginning, where else are we going to go? To whom shall we go? That's what the Lord asked the disciples. You know, after many of them left Him and followed Him no more, the Lord just turned to His disciples. He said, "Will you go away too?" Let me ask you this. Will you go away? Will you go away too? Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we're sure. You're the Christ. Where else we can, you know." We seek the Lord. What did Shulamite do? She sought the Lord on her bed. She couldn't find Him. She went to the assemblies. She couldn't find Him. She went to the preachers. She couldn't find Him. But when the Lord was pleased to reveal Himself to her, when He was pleased to open her eyes of understanding, somebody said, "How do you know when the Lord has revealed Himself?" You'll know. I said this so many times in Fairmont. A believer talks like a believer. Now somebody might say, "Well, I don't know what you mean." A believer knows what I mean. When a believer talks, they speak honorably of the Lord. They don't say anything honorably of themselves. They don't want to. I want to speak of Him who's kept me. There's a spirit about them. How does a believer know when the Lord has revealed Himself? They know. They just know. She said, "It was just a little while, and I passed from them, but I found Him." My heart settled. How is a heart settled? Your heart is settled to know this is the will of the Lord. And He gives rest. And He gives some peace and some comfort. Peace in the midst of adversity? Yes. Yes. To be taught, "This is my will." And for Him to say to my heart, "I am your only comfort. I'm your only peace." The scripture in Luke, turn with me here. I've started just reading it. I want you to look at it. Luke 24. Luke 24. Two on the road to Emmaus. The Lord, 3 days before, had been crucified. And He walked up. You know what happened. Their eyes were holding. They couldn't see Him. It was the Lord that was walking by. He asked them about the events of that last few days. And they told Him. They said, "Well, obviously you're not from around here. We were sure that the Lord Jesus was, we were sure that He was the Christ." And then 3 days ago, they said, since it happened, He was crucified. And He began to speak to them, beginning with Moses, all the scriptures concerning Himself. And the scripture says in verse 30, their eyes are still holding. What is it? They don't know Him. They don't know it's Him. "It came to pass as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it, broke it and gave to them." And the scripture says, "And their eyes were opened and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight." Now listen. "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures. Do you know who talked with them? He. Look at verse 32. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked? And while He opened to us the Scriptures. Do you know when they knew that they saw? When they saw. And their hearts were comforted. Their hearts burned. Scripture says that Shulamite found him whom her soul loveth. Back in Song of Solomon 4, and I'll wrap this up. She says in the middle part of verse 4, I held him and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. Now, what did she mean? What was she talking about? So I brought her into my... Hold your place again. Turn to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. This is where she found... She found him. She was comforted by him. And she said, I brought him into my mother's house. My mother's chamber. Galatians 4, 22, 26. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one of a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But listen to this, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. What was Shulamite talking about back in Song of Solomon chapter 3 and verse 4 when she said, I found him, I held him, I would not let him go till I brought him into my mother's house, the mother of us all. Let me just tell you what it is and you'll understand it. The mother of us all being spoken of here is that covenant of God's grace in Christ. Salvation, which is by faith, by grace, through faith, and not of works. So where did the bride, when she found him, where was the place that she found rest? Rest. She found rest in realizing, being taught again of His good pleasure to show mercy and compassion to her according to God's will and God's purpose, not according to works. I held him, I would not let him go. This is the only place that I can find any comfort. The Lord has been pleased to save me by His grace. Not that He saw anything good in me. Paul said, I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. No good thing. That He would keep me, hold me, and comfort me. This is the only place I've got any rest. God has been pleased to show mercy to this sinner and to teach me of Himself, to reveal Himself to me. And He knows how to draw me back. And then she said, I charge you, verse 5. O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till He please. Now, here's what the bride is saying. This comfort, this peace that I find, the Lord revealing Himself to me, I strive after not to have that interrupted. She's talking to the daughters of Jerusalem. And in the midst of every congregation, the Lord has promised there'll always be tares among the wheat. There's always something that'll be. I want you to look back in Song of Solomon 2. Who are these daughters of Jerusalem? The daughters of Jerusalem. If you look through the book of Song of Solomon, every time the bride is talking to somebody else, it's the daughters of Jerusalem. He's talking to somebody. And I'm convinced, based upon what I see here, that these daughters are the tares that the Lord has allowed to be in the midst. He said, there must be heresies among you. There must be. Why? That those which are approved might be made manifest. Look at Song of Solomon 2, verse 1 and 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily among the valleys. Now listen, the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking here. Look what he says in verse 2. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now the Lord who knows, who has allowed his sheep to be in the midst of adversity, he's allowed that. Look in Song of Solomon 5, verse 8 to 10. Now, I'll tell you what, 7 to 10. Song of Solomon 5, verse 7 to 10. Shulamite is saying, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me with the word. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. And here's what the bride says. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, listen to the wording of the bride. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved. Now, who do you think the bride's talking about? The Lord Jesus. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am sick of love. Now, I want you to listen to the response of the daughters. She says in verse 9, the daughters say this, back to the bride, what is thy beloved more than another, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another, beloved, that thou dost so charge us? And listen to the bride. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. The bride is so careful. I know that there's times that will be someone saying something that will be discouraging, disruptive. But whenever the bride has found him, she is on guard to keep that. Lord, please, please don't leave me. Lord, please don't let me be left to myself. Lord, please reveal yourself to me. I pray that today, in the midst of our night, and when I say our night, that's exactly what I mean. I happen to live in Fairmont. I used to live in Franklin. You're from Danville. And this is us. Because we're one. We're one body in the Lord. And wherever God's people are, they're together. They're together in heart and spirit. And they love one another. And they desire God's revelation, God's teaching, God's guidance, and God's direction. You know what I want? You know what I want? I pray God direct us in Danville. Direct us. Yeah. Because I'm at home right here. I pray the Lord be honored today. I pray God's people be taught and settled and comforted for His glory and our good.